joining us online also this morning. Well, welcome back to week two in our series looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've had a summer, actually, looking at the symbols of the Holy Spirit, and now we're looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We serve a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I love the explanation I'm sure you heard in Sunday school that God, creator of the world, he gave us his Son. And his Son gave us his Spirit. Amen. And we love and we welcome the Holy Spirit. Pastor Hugh introduced us to this series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit last week, as was detailed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we started the series off looking at tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Let me just refresh our memories of those verses last week from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. May God bless the reading. Last week, we looked at the gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. This morning, we're going to be looking at prophecy. These are the vocal gifts, church, the gifts of speaking, words of prophecy, speaking in tongues. So in all the gifts that you're going to hear about from the platform over the next little while, there is so much that can be said. And we are taking 1 week for each gift. So we can't cover everything, okay? So we encourage you, if this interests you, then do further exploration in your own time. You will find it fascinating. So I've asked the Holy Spirit to help me bring an explanation of the gift of prophecy today and to try and be as clear and concise as possible. So let's just pray for that just now. So Father God, we thank you for your living word. And we thank you that it brings guidance, teaching, revelation, direction and hope. And as we open it up now, Lord, may it bring understanding. May it inspire us, and may the words that I speak now, Father God, may they bring glory to your mighty name. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Come with me now, a couple of chapters on now. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to read to you the first 13 verses, so quite a few verses here. This will be our main text for today. Paul writes, "Follow the way of love, and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening," if you're taking notes, "encouraging, and for their comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless some interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will it be unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or a word of instruction? Even the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as pipe or harp, how will anyone know what the tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there will be all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. Verse 12 now. So it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Amen. We are looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit that build up the church. So here we've got Paul, and he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the church in Corinth, in Greece. And as with many of the epistles, Paul is bringing a word of encouragement, and a word of encouragement that builds up the believers. And at times, his letters came with a word of challenge. But that challenge was given to support them and not hinder them. So the first thing we read there, the first thing that's very important to us, church, is that we are to follow the way of love. And I love that Peter chose some songs today that are all about love. Pastor ended with this last week. And here we've got Paul in chapter 14 now emphasizing it. Before we can deliver the gifts of the Spirit, before we even look at the significance of the Spirit, there is no point in operating in these gifts if we do not have love. If we go back a chapter, Paul in chapter 13, you know this very well. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. So in everything that we do, in operating in these gifts, in serving one another in the church, love is most important. There's no point in you operating in your gifts and serving one another within the church if you cannot love the church, if you cannot love the people in which you're serving. So if we go back to our main text now, 1 Corinthians 14. You're taking notes. The first truth to take away is that we are to do everything in love. The second truth that Paul reveals to the church is that we are, and we heard this last week, we are to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. He even says, especially prophecy. So on the matter of the gifts of the Spirit, he was speaking to the church. He is still speaking. The Lord is still speaking to the church today. And he is speaking today and he's saying we are to earnestly desire to seek to go after the things of the Spirit. We are to do all we can to build up the church. The gifts that we have been given are not for ourselves. They're not for our own personal gain, with the exception of the gift of tongues that we heard last week is beneficial in our own private discipline. But the gifts of the Spirit are for the edification and for the encouragement of others. Our giftings given by the Holy Spirit are supernatural abilities. Can't find training out there in the world for it. Supernaturally given by God. Not to do things in our own strength, but in the power and in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And we operate in these gifts. We serve using these gifts to help build one another up. So the whole church, basically. Spiritual gifts are to build us up. They're to stir us up. And they're to clear up. They're to bring clarity and revelation. So as I said there, Paul's letters often came with a word of challenge or conviction. And here in this letter to the church in Corinth, Paul was addressing a problem, quite a major problem, and that was in relation to the gifts. For the church were misusing the gifts. They were using the gifts to compete with each other. And debates and controversies had broken out because of it. And what Paul was trying to do was get them back on track. He was trying to focus their intent and attentions in what is most important. And that's why I believe he starts with love. Try to get them back on track. You see, every gift of the Spirit is important to the building up of the bride of Christ. And each gift, when used correctly, is used to encourage the believers within the body. And I strongly believe with all of my heart that God has chosen this topic especially for us here because he loves us. He loves the church here. He loves the people of God here. And he wants us to get involved with building one another up. And that is why we are studying this. I believe the Lord wants us here at Mossvale Community Church to be empowered by his Spirit so that we will continue to move and grow in the power of his love. So the gifts are important. And in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says that prophecy in particular is important and another gift that is used to build the church. Prophecy is used to build up the church. Now, I said that every gift is important to growing the church, and it is. But why did Paul specifically mention prophecy? Well, Paul here is saying that the gift of prophecy in particular is an important gift within the church that should be welcomed. Now, we heard last week from Pastor Hugh that today and our world today, that a cessationalist today would assert that these gifts went out with the apostles. But as we heard last week, and from what I can glean from the scriptures, these gifts are as incredibly important today as they were back then. And we are to eagerly desire them just as much as the apostles did back then. In verse 2 to 5, Paul then goes on to make a comparison between the gifts, between tongues and prophecy. You'll often see them linked together in scripture. As I've said, it's because they are the vocal gifts. We'll go on in the series, we'll look at the power gifts and all of that. So they're the vocal gifts. And then it's not that tongues is not important. You heard last week that tongues is incredibly important. However, in the passage, Paul was making a distinction between the two. The fact that tongues in many ways, as I've said already, is for your own personal edification, whereas prophecy is used within the church to build up the church. So let me read that again to you so that we can be clear on that. Verse 3 and 4. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Amen. I can't stress that enough. So he was trying to encourage the church to come away from the debates about the gifts, come away from misusing the gifts and confusing people with the gifts, and focus on pursuing what is helpful to the church. What is helpful, and what he was saying here is, by the way, if he came from the west of Scotland, by the way, prophecy is helpful to building up the church. And I am so grateful that I serve alongside leaders that have chosen to do this topic, because I believe that it's an incredibly important topic for us as Christ believers, as there's so many wrong teachings and misconceived ideas about the spiritual gifts. And we really need to clear that up. And we really need to concentrate on what is actually true. And that's exactly what Paul was trying to do all those years ago. And well, prophecy is one of those gifts, isn't it, that gets people a little bit agitated. Why? Well, I believe that over the years, it's because it's been used and abused. And many preachers and teachers will steer away from even talking about the gifts because there is so much stigma and controversy surrounding the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But that is because over the years, sadly, the gifts have been used incorrectly, and that has sadly caused damage and at times chaos. Prophecy. Everyone say prophecy. Prophecy is simply the word of God given by God to a believer through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that believer then has the responsibility to bring forth that word that was given to them supernaturally by God. If you look at the Old Testament is full of the prophets bringing forth the word of God. This verse is not on the screen, but Amos 3 verse 7, Amos talks about the Lord speaking through the prophets. Those who bring forth a word of prophecy, quite often referred to as a prophet. These words do not come from the believers themselves. Did you hear that? They do not come from their own understanding or their own reasoning or their own education. Church, it is the divine word of God. Now, some of the reasons why folk get a bit uncomfortable about the gift is due to the lack of understanding of what it actually is. So let me just state right now what prophecy is not, okay? What prophecy is not. Prophecy is not predicting the future. It's not crystal ball stuff. So, for instance, it's not me declaring that Hibs are going to win the league. That's not prophecy. Sorry, boys, that's just wishful thinking, maybe even fantasy, okay? That's not prophecy. Couldn't help myself. It's not me feeling a bit cold this morning, because I feel it a bit nippy this morning. It's not me going home and saying to Gordon, I think that the Lord says that we should all just go on a little winter holiday and get some sunshine. Again, church, that is just wishful thinking. Prophecy is not sharing a word with someone that is advantageous to you or suits your situation. Church, that's manipulation. Prophecy is not sharing a word to make yourself look super cool and super powerful and super spiritual. Because let me tell you what that is pride. And what that also is deceit. And this is exactly why the gifts of prophecy can cause some folk to be skeptical, okay? It's because of this. The misuse of it, because at times prophecy has attached itself to people that over the years have made claims and predictions from God, on behalf of God, they say, that are just quite frankly not true. Now, in some occasions, this is down to the work of the enemy. This is what's known as false prophecy spoken by false prophets. And Jesus warns us, the Bible warns us, but Jesus in particular warns us about this. Matthew 7, I think we have that. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are ferocious as wolves. Let me just say though, there are times when a word is delivered and is given, a word of prophecy from an individual, and it's wrong. It's not correct. Now, we're not saying that that person is a false prophet, okay? There are times with human error that we get it wrong. So we can't go around labeling everybody false prophets. They are in the world. We have to be careful and mindful of that. But sometimes an inaccurate word could be given and that individual just needs a little bit more teaching. And they need the leaders of the church to come around them and spend time with them in that area of gifting. Bless you. Prophecy is a word spoken by God through an individual to bring edification. We've said that. Now, it could be a word given to an individual. It could be a word delivered to a group, or a whole ministry, a church, or a nation. as we've said, it is to bring encouragement. So it could be something that God brings to mind or he drops into your heart. So for me, let me share what happens with me. It's often when I'm in a time of prayer or worship. When I'm in a time of prayer or a time of worship with the Lord, and the Lord will just drop something into my heart. And in that moment, I will pray some more. I will lean in to what God is showing me, and I will even ask questions of the Lord, because you can ask him questions. And I'll say, what are you showing me? Who is this for? Why are you giving me this verse? And often he'll reveal a picture. Something he'll bring to my mind that wasn't there before. Something that quite often I have no prior knowledge of. Now let me just say that when we say that the Lord has spoken or I have heard from God, it is not an audible voice that I hear. It's not, Debbie, are you listening to me? I'm not saying that God can't speak to you like that. I'm sure he can, but it doesn't always need to be an audible voice that you hear. So as I've said, we need to have an awareness of his presence. So when you're in his presence, so as I've said, it's usually if I'm praying or if I'm worshiping, the Lord might drop something into my heart. So it is more an impression upon my heart. And I've spoke to other people who operate in this gift. It's a deep awareness in that moment of his presence. So as I said, he'll maybe show a picture or a verse, and I'll pray about it, and I will test it. That's really important, and we're going to come on to that in a moment. But when I am certain as I can possibly be through testing, I will then deliver that word of prophecy. So for instance, a word that I believe that was for the church here, I delivered during the preaching of the word on the first day of this year. The word that the Lord had impressed upon my heart, I believe, for the church at Moss Vale, is that we were to live the unhindered life. Now, that word was not just for one person. Yes, I've applied it time and time again this year in my own life. I hope you have too, because that word was a word for the church. And as I've said, it was delivered through the preaching of the word. A more recent example I can give you, or two examples, was just last week when I was preaching at a weekend conference. In the car, when I'm driving to a venue or a speaking engagement, I will spend time in prayer. And I was seeking God for the time ahead. And the Lord impressed upon my heart that I would meet someone that would have a deep, deep need, a specific need. I'm not going to share that with you this morning. Again, during the preaching of the word, I released the word of God. At the end of the service, a lady came forward with the specific need. But what that then allowed me to do was to minister to her, to pray for her. During the same conference, a lady came forward for prayer ministry at the end. A lady I'd never met before. I did not know her situation. She began to pray that her heart, say that her heart was heavy, and would I pray for her? As I laid hands on her, and we'll look at the laying on in hands a few weeks time. As I lay hands on her, I began to pray the word of courage over her and new beginnings over her. In that moment, she stopped and she said, I'm anxious. I'm about to move house. I'm scared to move house because the house that I'm leaving is the one that I lived with my late husband. In that moment, I was then able with her also to pray for her and minister to her. On both occasions, God was speaking to these women and he was speaking words of prophecy that would lead them out of places of darkness and pain into his hope. Because the word of God given through prophecy is to build up the church and is to build up the individuals within the church. The word of prophecy that was given about us living the unhindered life, church, was for us for guidance. and for strengthening, and so that this year we could run our race with focus. It's for the building up of the saints. And for the word of prophecy, these gifts are given by God and should be executed in love. They should bring encouragement and freedom. So what is prophecy? Well, it's the divine word of God given to his children for the good of others. It's not for our own personal gain. It's not guesswork. It's not wishful thinking. It's not predicting the future. It is the divine word of God. It's the voice of God. And as I said already, doesn't need to be a big audible voice. It can just be a sense in your spirit that the Lord is present. And the reason why that's really important for us to understand that is so often we doubt it. In these moments, you think to yourself, am I crazy? Did I eat too much cheese? Is this God really speaking to me for this individual? So it's so important that if God has gifted you with this gift, or you believe that God might be leading you in this gift, that you spend time in the presence of God. This is key in relation to prophecy. It's like any good relationship. You will know the voice of that person when you spend time with them. You will know this is God because you'll have spent time with God. So can I encourage you? The Lord speaks. He speaks. We'll mention testing there. The other test I would suggest in discerning if it is from God is, where are you? Where are you positioned when the Lord deposits this into your heart, as I've shared? For me, it's usually during times of prayer, or when I'm in worship, or when I'm at the Monday night prayer meeting, or the Wednesday morning prayer meeting, or when I'm in a deep pondering as I'm driving my car and my thoughts are fixed in God. Where are you when the Lord speaks to you? I encourage you, church, to develop a listening ear. Find time to be in his presence, for who knows what he might share with you in the stillness. So if you're praying for someone and God speaks to you a word that you didn't previously know, a verse of scripture, then it is possible that it is from God. So we've looked at prophecy, what it is, what it isn't. Let me say something now about scripture, the word of God. You see, prophecy, I believe, is not on the same level as scripture. For the word of God is absolute authority. So if God is speaking to you and it's through his word, you can be confident this is the divine word of God. This is how he speaks to us, through his word. And this is my first go-to, church, and it should be yours also. God speaks through his words. So if you're praying for someone and he gives you a scripture, then you know God is speaking through his word. You can be confident. This is one of the most efficient tests of prophecy, isn't it? Testing prophecy with the word of God. So if you're the one that is locked in prayer and God is giving you a word for someone else and you're not sure, I want you in that moment to stop and ask some questions. Does it sound like God? How do I know it's God? Well, it's the God that I read about in my Bible. Does it line up with the scriptures? Does it sound like God? Is it detailed in the scriptures? And the test is, if it does not line up with the word of God, can I suggest it is not from God and you would not deliver that word? Church, the Bible has complete authority because it is the divine word of God. So prophecy, a word given from God to an individual, the church, the nations, the ministries, and it's not to be abused. And that's why if you are the receiver of the word that's to be deposited, we are to test everything that is given to us. And as leaders, we are to do the same. We are to ask the Holy Spirit to grant us wisdom to be able to discern such things. This is why the Bible says that all prophetic utterances is to be subject to judgment. It is to be tested. So how do we test? Well, just as I've said, we seek God's face. We ask the questions. If you are the receiver of that word, if someone comes to Gordon and says, Gordon, I have got a word for you today. How does Gordon receive that word? Well, just as we, as the receiver, as the prophet, is to test the word that's been given, Gordon is to equally test the word that has been given. He's not just to say, oh, I believe that's it. Now, there might be a sense in his spirit that it fits with where he's at in his situation, but we test it. Again, we align it with the word of God. Does it sound like Jesus? Does it look like Jesus? Somebody gives you a word, ask the question, is that encouraging to me? Or has it got you in floods of tears, terrified, and you don't want to leave your house? I would suggest that's not from God. Does it edify God's people? Does it edify the church? This is what we should be asking. Here's another one. Does it glorify God? We sung about glorifying God. If it doesn't glorify God, it's not from God. So church, when a word of prophecy is given, we should test it just as John encourages us in 1 John 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. You know, when I read that verse, I think of cooking. Stay with me. You see, I don't put a meal down to my family without first tasting it. Don't receive a word into your heart without testing it. The gift, like others, is not to be abused. It's to be handled properly and with care. It's important as the deliverer of the word and as the receiver of the word that you test it. There was this one time many, many years ago now, a lady came to me. She said, Debbie, I have a word for you from the Lord. I said, great. She gave me the word. I said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to pray about that. There was something about it just did not sit right with me. So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And what I felt like the Lord was showing me was that there was part of the word was an encouragement. Part of the word, I believe, was a word from God. But the other bit of the word didn't sit right with me. During prayer and revelation by the Holy Spirit, I realized that what had happened is she'd received a word from God and then she'd added to it. The word of God is the word of God. You don't add to it or take away from it. Was she a false prophet? No, she was not. She was not a false prophet. I believe that the Lord was using her and challenging her and stretching her in this gift. I haven't seen her for many years. My prayer is that she's operating in a great way in this gifting. There are times where you need to be bold. And it is right, church, and I encourage you to do this. If a word is spoken over you, whether it's inaccurate or maybe just a wee bit inaccurate, that you say to the individual, thank you for that, but I don't think this is from God. How else will we learn our gifts if we don't know how to use them correctly? So I praised the individual for the word that was given that was encouraging, and I pointed out the bits that I believed were added in the hope that she would go on and effectively use her giftings. We must align the word of God with scripture. Does it sound like Jesus? And I encourage you to do the same if that happens to you. So let's be wise in handling the word of prophecy. As a church leadership, when a word of prophecy is spoken over our church, we must test it exactly the same. We come together as leaders. We seek it, the Lord. We talk about it. And if it does not bear witness, then we say that is not for us. Again, we are not saying that these people are false prophets. They may well be, and therefore we will deal with that differently. We must be aware about that. But we must also be compassionate and kind to encourage other believers as they develop their giftings. So, we're wise and we're to test everything and we're to operate in an orderly way. We mentioned this last week. Now, church, this is not us trying to control you, okay? This is not us grieving the Holy Spirit. A church being orderly is for us to protect the bride. When we both, and the elders, stood here and we made a pledge, one of the pledges, well, I know that is the same pledge I'm sure I pledged that you did, was that we would shepherd the sheep. and that we would protect the bride of Christ. So the reason why we operate in an orderly way is to do just that. It's to protect you and me and the church here, which is precious. Paul, in the latter verses of 1 Corinthians 14, we read these words about prophecy. Let two or three people prophesy and let the others evaluate what is said. But if someone is prophesying and another receives a revelation from the Lord, the one who is speaking must stop. In this way, all who prophesy will have a turn to speak, one after the other, so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. Remember that the people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the meetings of God's holy people. Amen. We heard about order in relation to tongues last week also. So prophecy as well as tongues that must be conducted in an orderly way. So for instance, Paul's talking about prophecy here being important within the church. It's to be used as a gift to encourage the congregation, but it's not to take over the whole meeting. It's to be used in a way that encourages, but it's not to be the main focus. And when the word of God is given, it should be tested and judged by the leadership. So for instance, within a church meeting, a word may be given. However, the preaching of the word is what the Lord has laid upon the pastor for that Sunday and therefore should not be interrupted. A word of prophecy should not interrupt or disrupt the delivery of the word of God. Which is why here at Moss Vale, we welcome words of prophecy, the words that God gives you. And at that proper time, it will be delivered. So we have looked so far at what prophecy is and what prophecy is not, and how to use the gifts with wisdom. How's my time? Okay, we could talk for hours. This is just a taster. Okay, so let's briefly look at who can prophesy. Well, in the Old Testament, you see a whole load of prophets in there. Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the rest. There's loads more. There's also Deborah, and there's also Miriam, and a few others. And the women-to-women ladies are currently looking at Deborah, the prophetess. So we can take from Scripture that there's nothing in Scripture to say or suggest that the gift of prophecy is gender specific. The Bible speaks about both men and women using and operating in this gifts. And as we heard last week, the gifts are given to all. And in the prophets in the Old Testament, they held that position, that office, and they would speak a word from God, thus saith the Lord. Quite often it was an unpopular role, as many of the words that they brought was a word of conviction. Turn away from your sin. Turn back to God. In one particular time in the Old Testament, we read these words from the prophet Joel, which we heard last week. Joel 2:28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. All. Spirit will be poured out on all. Sons and daughters. Now the prophecy, yes, for the time that they were living in then. That the Spirit of God will be poured out on all. But I believe that prophecy is for us living today. That the power of the Holy Spirit will be poured out on us all today. You see, the fulfillment of that prophecy actually took place, as we heard last week, at Pentecost, when the disciples were awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit, and he came as promised. And at that time, when the Holy Spirit came, it came in power. And one person in particular, Paul, received the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said. He related back to the words of Joel. In the last days, he said, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. In the last days, in the last days. Now, this is not the days before the second coming of Jesus. Yes, church, Jesus is coming back. But instead, I believe the present age in which we're living in today, that the Lord will pour out His Spirit today upon His sons and daughters, and they will prophesy today in the last days. Peter was talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, which I believe, church, is for today. It's not of the past. It is for now. And it is for now to build up the church. And boy, do we need it in these last days. So in the last days. And then Peter went on to preach. And he went on to preach boldly about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is empowered by the Spirit of God. And he then goes on to preach about Jesus, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Deliverer. As we read John's words in Revelation 19 verse 10. At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus Christ. Amen. For it is the spirit of prophecy that bears testimony to Jesus. All that Jesus did, his life, his birth, his life, his ministry, it was prophetic. And according to one commentator named as Hawking, he writes these words, the true spirit of prophecy always shows itself in bearing witness to Jesus. Any teaching of prophecy that takes our minds and hearts away from him is not being properly communicated. I don't think we need to say anything else. What it means is that prophecy at its very heart is designed to reveal the beauty and the loveliness of Jesus Christ. It should be done in love. It should be used to edify and build up the body of Christ. But ultimately, church, it should be used to point us to the goodness of God. The band can make their way back now. Run out of time. What shall we say then in conclusion about the gifts of the Spirit, in particular prophecy? I'd like to finish with reading to you a scripture that I would like to use as a prayer, because it explains it better than I can ever. And I'm going to read that to you now. So let's pray, church. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 to 24. Don't suppress the Spirit. And don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. And now may God Himself, the God who makes everything holy, make you whole. Make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who has called you is completely dependable. For if he said it, he will do it. Amen and amen.